Welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode 32. Coming up today, we're going to talk about food since it's the holidays, both for pregnancy and, of course, for the holidays. Also, seven things you should never feed your child, toys that could damage their hearing, and custody battles over embryos. We have a lot of fun stories to talk about. We only have half of the betas on the line because it is, of course, the holidays. Jennifer and I are the only ones home ready to podcast. So aren't you? But you're traveling soon, right?
We are. We are traveling tomorrow, heading to visit the Arkansas family. So I know Alex is really excited about that. And I'm just basically about to start packing because I always forget something.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst. That's the worst. And even the things you think you can buy, you know, you forget the things you need on the airplane. Like, we just went on a little walk, and, you know, celebrate the winter solstice and get out. And then I forgot the tissues, and poor little man had a runny nose, and I had to use my jeans to wipe his nose. Like, it's always that way, right?
I never have tissues. It's the one thing I never have. I just don't feel like I'm a full-on mom, I guess, if I don't have the tissues.
I know. I always have the hand sanitizers, and I usually have some kind of, you know, usually I end up using baby wipes. And lately, since little man's been sick, I've been carrying those boogie wipes. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, we get out of the car, and I've left them in the car, or they're in the other bag or whatever. They're never there when you need them, so you end up using your sleeve like a disgusting mom. So that's how we get sick, right?
Exactly. Well, I think they're probably a little softer. Maybe not than the boogie wipes. Those smell pretty good, and I think that they don't have alcohol in them, right?
So no, it's just saline. It's just saline wipes. Although the grape ones kind of gross me out. They turn my stomach. Well, speaking of health, I picked out some stories that I thought were worth talking about today, things that we weren't blogging about on mommybeta.com, but things we're just kind of looking at and reading. And I found this story on Babbel about seven foods you should never feed your kids. And for the most part, I try really hard to only buy organic and stay away from plastics. And now I'm staying away from canned foods these days because I was reading that canned foods have BPA. But then there were some in here that did surprise me, like microwave popcorn. It says that some toxicologists are claiming that cancer-causing chemicals line the bags of microwave popcorn and actually migrates into the food. So then you eat that and it stays in your body for years and can accumulate there. Did you know this about microwave popcorn?
Yeah, actually, I did have some idea of this. And I think it was a story I read years ago where all these workers in the popcorn factories were getting cancer.
Oh.
So for some reason, I thought that there was some correlation between the popcorn and something that maybe some sort of chemical within the bag or the food and association with that, I'm assuming with just the material that they're working with in the factory. So I've never really been a big fan of microwave popcorn anyway, thankfully. My husband, however, I sent him this article and he's completely freaking out. He said, oh my gosh, I grew up on Act Two popcorn from Costco. I'm like, what? You grew up? Like, how much did you eat? And he said, I would literally come home from school and pop a bag of popcorn and eat it. And I'm like, great. Awesome. Well, thankfully, our daughter hasn't had any popcorn. She's only 14 months. And that's one of the one foods that they say they'll choke on.
Right.
The kernels and things. We do have a popcorn popper that my husband bought a year ago or so. And it's just it's plastic. It's probably not that good, but we don't leave the popcorn sitting in that bowl. We transfer it to another one.
Right. And the inside is not plastic where it's actually heated, right? The inside is like a stainless steel.
No,
where you pour it in.
It's actually a plastic bowl that you put in the microwave and literally just cook it, pour the kernels in, maybe pour a little olive oil or spices or whatever you want. Turn it on for like 3 minutes, and then similar to the bag, when the popping slows, you take it out. But there are stainless steel ones that you put on the stove, and there's now a new glass popcorn popper that I learned about on Mighty Nest that's out there.
Oh, okay. Well, we used to have those ones that were kind of shaped like a R, you know, it kind of went over, and it was an air popper, and those worked pretty well too. And the outside was plastic, but the inside was a stainless steel, and you plug it into an outlet and then
it
starts. Remember those?
I only ones I know are like Jiffy Pop, the little things that you go ahead and put on the stove.
Yeah. I guess, well, you know, any kind of gimmick that it sort of preserves food indefinitely and then, you know, makes it so that you can eat food that's not fresh is usually, in the end, we end up finding out it's bad for us, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not really that surprising. But I was cleaning out our pantry the other day, and I found some microwave popcorn that my sister bought last year during Thanksgiving when she was visiting. And I looked at the expiration date. I was like, oops, September 2011. And I threw it out, but I thought, oh, maybe we'll buy some more because I like having it around, even though we almost never eat it because it just doesn't occur to me. But now I'm going to look into buying a microwave popcorn, or not a microwave, one of those air poppers. So, but some other foods on here that I thought were pretty obvious, you know, organic apples, potatoes. Some of the other things on this list were not that surprising, though, like organic milk and potatoes and apples. Those are the things you want to buy organic because the chemicals do get into your body and become ingested. Canned tomatoes was one that kind of freaked me out, though, because I do tend to buy canned stewed tomatoes for my red sauces. And I thought, oh, am I going to really stew my own tomatoes now? Because I stopped using canned beans, and I'm making my own beans now, which is not that big of a deal. But tomatoes, I'm like, oh, that's one more thing. What do you think about this?
The tomatoes have freaked me out for a little while now. And just since we did the whole BPA article on the lined cans, we make our homemade tomato sauce. Homemade meaning, oh, okay, we're not getting it out of the jar that it comes in, but we're using canned tomatoes, canned tomato paste. You know, it goes down the list of all those ingredients that are typically canned. And I mentioned this to my husband the last time we made it. I said, I just don't know how good I feel about using these cans in this sauce. I mean, it seems like it'd almost be healthier to use the jars they have on the shelves because they're in glass mm-hmm. jars. And he said, no, it's definitely better this way because obviously there are preservatives in the canned ones that we've bought. And then the sugar level is much lower. But it's, I guess, a battle between the sugar and the BPA. And I was thinking, well, you know, maybe I could, you know, blanch some tomatoes and put them in some glass jars. Not that I have the time to do this. But maybe if you could dedicate one day or one afternoon to just canning a bunch of them yourself, then you could have some for, you know, a couple months. And so it's something that I've thought about, not the thing that I've acted on, but just reading this article, at least it's proven my point to him.
Yeah.
And the problem is we bought literally two Costco sizes of chopped tomatoes and diced tomatoes.
Yeah,
and
I just did two.
What am I supposed to do with those? I mean, I guess the adults, we can eat them.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I don't really, you know, when I make a lasagna, I buy these stewed tomatoes in the can. So I don't know. I mean, I don't even know how to stew tomatoes myself. I guess I could look it up on the internet, but I don't mind making these things that I just have around. Like I said, I've started to make beans, because I like to have black beans around, and you know, you just throw it on the stove and then walk away and read a book or work or whatever. It's not that big of a deal. I like to make my own stock as well, you know, Wow. Things like that. So I'll just kind of throw it on the stove and walk away. So if it's something that I could do in a crock pot and just toss a ton of tomatoes in, then that's one thing. But tomatoes are another thing that sort of absorb chemicals. So you're going to want to have to, now you have to buy the organic kind. So,
yeah. Well, the good thing is, at least where we are in California, there's a lot of access to organic produce and farmers markets and all of that. So I feel really lucky about that because I know when I visit my family in Arkansas, they don't have as much access to the organic foods.
Right. Yeah.
But for the beans, I agree with you. It's all about time, though. I mean, because I normally soak overnight. Do you not soak the beans overnight, or you do it
I do. Okay. I soak them overnight. But again, it's just one thing. Like, I just do it before I go to bed. And then when I wake up in the morning the next day, like, these are little steps. You have to constantly kind of be organizing things like that.
Yeah.
Again, it doesn't take a lot of my effort. It just takes a little bit of planning.
Mm-hmm. I felt really proud of myself because I soaked some beans one day. It's like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to make Elle a black bean soup or something that we can eat as parents. And I soaked them overnight, and they sat in the water the rest of the day because I just never had time to go back and get them. And I just ended up having to throw them out because I just got nervous about whether, you know, they were still safe to eat.
Yeah. Although you boil them for like 3 hours. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, beans take a really long time. It's like a stock. So you just have to walk away. You just have to keep adding water. But another thing, now my sister has been freaked out about, another thing that comes canned is infant formula. And I don't know if you heard about this formula recall that Walmart is taking something like 3,000 stores and pulling all the Enfamil off the shelves because there was a baby that died from Enfamil. And so my sister is trying her best to nurse, but she has to supplement with formula because her milk is taking a while to, and her baby's only 8 days old or something like 10 days old. And so she read this and then she was freaking out.
It's so hard.
It is so hard.
You want to trust these companies so much that, you know, with your child's health.
Yeah.
And you have no other options. The baby has to eat.
Right. Yeah. And she called this morning. She's like, what do I do? And I was like, just pump your guts out, you know, and maybe call the lactation consultant and see how you can get him to, yeah, because the baby got used to drinking from a bottle, won't take milk from her now. So she's really pumping like crazy. But, you know, I didn't really let down for the pump right away. Mm-hmm. So she's not able to get that much. So, you know, I said, just keep a close eye on him. And she had just bought an Enfamil pack at Costco just last week. And so she said, and she's like, I'm going to go to Whole Foods and buy the other kind. I'm like, that might be a good idea, but who knows, you know? And
exactly. I mean, we really don't know. We want to trust these brands that put on their organic formula and, you know, DH free, DHA something free. I mean, I think the one I used, Earth's Best, to supplement, and then eventually Elle used Full On, as there was a big uproar about it at some time, I guess, before I even started using it. But I guess they had said that they were organic, but if you have a certain level of something in it, that it's not considered organic. And so there was a big uproar about that. And I think they changed the formulation, but you just never really know.
Yeah, and the scary thing is that there's a formula scare like every 6 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, why is formula such a dangerous thing when it's the most essential thing? It's the only thing they eat at that age.
So what is it they're having to put in here that is doing that? I don't know. And then the other thing is these cans they put it in. It's really, do you really need to put it in this type of container that you know has this chemical lining?
Yeah. It's crazy. I'm reading Lawrence Lessig's new book called Republic Lost, and he talks about how the studies on BPA in plastics and also in canned foods are out, and he took, there were something like 300 studies on whether or not BPA actually hurts us, and he says that all of the studies that were industry-funded, none of them found that BPA was harmful, but all of the studies that were funded by either universities or private interests and that were not related to the corporations, about 85% of them did find that BPA is harmful. So there's just such a corporate racket on getting us to buy this stuff. It's so infuriating.
We're in so deep, and there's so much money invested in the way things currently are.
Right.
That these companies just can't handle the shakeup that would, you know, We're one step in with baby food containers not having to have this, you know, BPA in it, like the feeding the bottles and all that. I actually was going to buy a really cute little fork for Elle at this nice little toy store downtown to put in her stocking. I thought it'd be a really cute thing. It had little flowers on it, and it said on it PVC free and phthalate free. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, is this BPA free too? And they said, they kind of rolled their eyes almost and were like, oh, well, you know, it has to reach a certain temperature for that chemical to even be released. And I said, well, her food can be hot if I'm stirring it sometimes to let it cool. It can be really hot.
Right. And you put it in the dishwasher possibly, which gets super hot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're already going to this length, going to the point of removing these other chemicals. Why does it have to have BPA in it?
I don't know. Yeah, it's crazy. And he talks about in this book I'm reading, Republic Lost, he talks about how in Europe, when his kids were born a decade or so ago, his wife used to buy all their binkies and bottles from Europe, and he didn't know why she did that. And it's because in Europe, BPA hasn't been allowed for far longer than here. It's still allowed. We just make so many products without it because moms demand it now. But why is that allowed? And it's not allowed in Europe.
I don't know. So. I think people here, there's so much going on and we just don't have time to focus on certain things. And it's not until something's really brought to light like it has been.
Right.
That we actually, until we've been hit on the head with it so many times that we actually get it and we're fighting against it.
Right. Well, one more health story that I thought was interesting was this other story from Babbel about whether or not your toys can hurt your children's hearing. And this is something that I can be a little sensitive to, because when I, you know, cover the iPod and personal media devices, in Europe, it's another thing that's regulated, that the iPod and toys are not allowed to go above 90 decibels. But here in the United States, we don't have laws like this. So the University of California at Irvine did a study and took popular toys like this T-Pain musical microphone and other toys, and found that some of them actually do go above 90 decibels. And when you get that high, you can damage your hearing. And the way our ears work, you know, the little like fibers in our ear that absorb sound, they never repair themselves. So once you damage those, it's permanent. Hearing loss is always permanent, no matter what age. So there's a list here of some of the toys that you just want to try and avoid, because this like Tonka Mighty motorized fire truck, 100 decibels? That's crazy. Why does you need that? And furthermore, it would drive me bonkers.
Exactly. It's do they really think that our children have hearing problems?
Well, they will.
They're new, fresh little. They will. Yes. I looked at the Children's Hearing Institute, and on their unsafe levels of exposure, they said prolonged exposure to any noise above 85 decibels can cause gradual hearing loss. So continuing, you know, to play this toy at its highest level, or possibly hold the toy to your ear by the speaker, obviously would, you know, damage the hearing, your child's hearing.
And I think this is just another thing that's just not really regulated. Like maybe they didn't even, no one's ever tested for this kind of thing. Like, oh, this Tonka Mighty fire truck sounds pretty awesome. Just keep turning it up.
Exactly. And then they said, you know, you said this toy was what, 110 decibels?
Yeah. Well, the Tonka trunk is 100.
Okay. So the 100, no more than 15 minutes of unprotected exposure is recommended of anything at that level.
And you can buy headphones for your children that are 80, that go a maximum of 80 decibels, so that if they are using an iPod, they can't turn it up above what's safe for them. But those are not recommended for children below 6. So for us, we wouldn't buy those things yet. But those headphones are even hard to find. I was looking around Best Buy for them, and I didn't see them. And I found a couple of kids' headphones, but I couldn't find it marked clearly what the decibel level was on that. So
that's interesting. And, you know, even these toys don't even list it.
No.
You think they should be required to. I think that's probably something that will be required eventually.
Yeah. So anyway, well, let's move on to some of the things we're talking about on MommyBeta.com, because you have a new addition to your family that you're trying to help out with, right?
I do. My sister-in-law, who we talked about on last week's podcast, had her baby a couple days overdue and at a healthy 8.1 pounds. We're really excited. She had an amazing labor that was much different than my own. She got in the hospital at 4 and had the baby by 6:45, and this is her first baby.
That's so unfair.
I know. I know. Her mom was sort of like superwoman when it came to labor, too. So maybe that's hereditary.
Perhaps. Is it a boy or a girl?
It's a girl. And last that I heard, they haven't decided on a name yet.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So it was yesterday evening. So she had the baby yesterday morning around 6:45. And yesterday evening around 10, I spoke with her and had asked, you know, oh, did you guys decide on a name? And she said, no, we're still debating.
Oh, cute. But you wrote about trying to help out, and this is something I just did last week because my sister had a new baby. So we went there, and I thought, well, I'm just going to cook and clean and do everything that will make life easier for her. And man, that was tiring. It was a lot of work for me, but it's, you know, so appreciated when you have a new baby and you don't have to worry about these little things. So you brought up some of the things that people had brought to you when you had Elle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were really lucky. We had, well, Natalie, the other Natalie here, she and her husband and Dom came over one night and picked up food and brought it over to have Mexican here, which was really nice. And then someone made us a delicious lasagna, and another one made us brought us the soup and the pasta to boil with it and the bread and some pesto. It was a meal that lasted all week. So we felt very blessed with that. And it wasn't really until I had a baby that I realized how important that is. and how easy it does make your life. So I wanted to pull together a meal tree for my sister-in-law, and I went online and I tried mealbaby.com. Have you heard of this site?
No.
It's basically an online registry that either you can create for yourself to let friends know who may want to make dishes for you after having the baby, what days you'll be around or what days you may not be expecting food or visitors or things like that, that will pretty much keep you from having to cook as long as you have friends willing to make you meals.
I wonder if you could fill this up for a full year.
That might be a little tricky.
How long can you push this? I want to know who pushed this the furthest.
That's a good question.
Because I think after a month, people are over you and they're like, you got to learn to live your life with this kid.
Yeah, probably. But I'm trying. My goal is probably like a month's worth of meals. So some people normally bring enough for leftovers. So thinking maybe 3 drop-offs a week or something. Uh-huh. And she has a pretty good amount of people. Now, the tricky part is I am pretty dependent on Excel, too. I think you are mm-hmm. as well. And so I've almost found it more convenient for me just to list it in Excel or Google Doc mm-hmm. and send that around to the people who want to be involved and have them enter their dish. And then we'll fill in the days that are available. Because the way that the meal baby works, I think it's easier if you're the actual one doing it. The mom is doing it.
Yeah.
But if a friend is doing it, I don't know what day's the best day. And I also am having trouble getting it started because I don't think she sent out her email about having the baby yet. So I don't, of course, want to be the one breaking that news.
Yeah.
So when is it safe to reach out to these people saying, okay, get ready. We need you to start making your meals to bring over, whether they're frozen or whatever. And the other tricky part right now is it's the holidays. So people are going to be away or traveling or busy with making all their Christmas dinner and all that too.
Yeah. Well, hopefully maybe she can go to her mom's house and at least get some Christmas food and bring home some leftovers.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, she has a large family. So we have about 10 people ready to go, but I just thought this would be a great idea and something I hope someone may do for me since we don't get a shower or sprinkle with a second baby. Maybe I can be overloaded with food.
That would be awesome. Well, I didn't really have anyone bringing me food, but I lived in Manhattan. You know, I didn't have friends that had babies. My family was far. But when my mom came to visit, she at least picked up takeout and my husband ordered out. So this seems like an amazing luxury. We'll make sure we put the link in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you are in the takeout capital or the delivery capital of the world. I mean, you literally can have anything delivered, right?
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Formula, diapers, whatever.
Anything. Yeah. Well, before we move on to the second news story that I think is fascinating this week, I want to tell everyone about Gazelle.com. They are an amazing show sponsor. We thank them so much for our support. Gazelle.com is a site that allows you to sell your used electronics without going through the hassle of using eBay or Craigslist. You basically just go online, tell them what it is you have to sell. They'll give you an offer for what they think the value of that thing is based on its condition and age. And then you accept that offer, mail that thing in, and get the cash. It's easy as that. They help you mail that in because, you know, shipping can be a hassle despite what the UPS or USPS commercials say. Shipping still is a hassle. So they'll send you a label. They'll send you a box. They'll make that super easy. When they get it, they'll tell you, yes, this is in the condition that you said it is. And then they'll send you either a PayPal payment, a check in the mail, or an Amazon credit if you'd like. So it's easy as pie. It's really a great way to get rid of your used electronics if you get something super great for Christmas and you got an old one back home. Sell that old one, get some cash for it, and use the new one. Or mm-hmm. If you get some stuff you don't even like, sell the new one. It's just a great way to get some extra cash, and who couldn't use extra cash around the holidays? So when you tweet about them, make sure you mention @MommyBeta that you heard about them from us. They are Gazelle_com. Thank you so much for their support.
Thanks, Gazelle. Hey, Nat, and I wanted to also tell you, too, that my mother-in-law and my father-in-law both have small businesses, and they've been using this as well for their electronics there. It's been really helpful.
How neat. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, one more news story this week that I thought worth talking about was this one that was brought up in the Wall Street Journal just 2 days ago about frozen embryos. Now, I thought that this was fascinating, and my husband and I ended up talking about it for like an hour the other night because I think as a man he finds it very scary. And the crux of the story is that when a man and a woman have trouble conceiving, oftentimes they'll freeze some embryos for later use. If they end up getting divorced before they use those embryos, do either one of them have the right to continue to use those embryos to become pregnant and have a baby? Now, of course, most of the time it's the woman who wants to then have the baby, and the man doesn't want her to because they're not married and he doesn't want to be held responsible for the baby. And this is something that's come up in several states and been taken to court. Most of the time, the court sides with the man and says that the woman can't use the embryo because you can't force someone to be a parent. But in Pennsylvania recently, they sided with the woman, and this is going to be appealed in the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. So it's going to go all the way to the top of the state courts. And I just found this so interesting because at first I was like, yeah, no, of course not. You shouldn't use those embryos. But then I thought about it and I thought, well, you know, he did sort of make the contribution to, in order to have a child, whether or not that takes 10 minutes or 10 years, you know, she sort of, I don't know, I'm torn on this. What's your initial gut reaction to it?
Well, there's so many details involved in it, and that's where I was just getting lost, trying to figure out, oh, well, what was decided beforehand? And it looks like this guy decided or signed, did he sign a contract saying that if they get divorced that they can still use the baby? I mean, they can still, she can still have the baby?
I think in this case there wasn't a contract, but in most cases now there are.
Okay.
And her circumstance is different because she ended up having cancer. So that's mm-hmm. why they froze her embryos in case the cancer inhibited her ability to have a baby later. Now, he's since gone on to get married again, and he has kids with his new wife, which makes it, of course, you know, very sensitive. The new wife mm-hmm. must just be pissed that the ex-wife just wants to have his baby. And I also can't tell from the story or any of the research I've done whether or not the man would be responsible for child support if he...
That's what I was wondering about, too.
Right. So...
Well, the question is, too, can she have any more children? Does she know that or not?
I don't think I know that. I know, you know, I was listening to the reporter talk about this on the Wall Street Journal this morning, and he was saying that the circumstances of her case were such that the court... had a lot more sympathy for her than maybe in other cases. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and not to be crude, but I was telling my husband, Clayton, I said, well, you know, he ejaculated with the purpose of conception. And men do that every day and maybe, you know, get stuck with a baby that they didn't really intend with, you know, their one-night stands, their, you know, sort of surprise babies. Like, this kind of stuff happens. Just because he has this waiting period, does he really have the right to say never mind? Because there are plenty of men who don't get to say never mind when it
exactly.
comes to, you know, that deposit that they make. So...
I did think it was interesting. A spokesperson for the Adoption and Reproductive Technology, an adoption and reproductive technology lawyer, made a comment in this article, and she said the rationale is that people have the right to change their minds, and nobody should be forced to become a parent against his or her wishes. And I agree with you there that, you know, this stuff happens all the time. I don't know many 16-year-olds who are saying, okay, I'm ready to be a father or mother.
Right, right. And they just don't have a choice. Like, he has the choice because they have the luxury of time that they didn't
right.
use those. But, you know, I do sympathize. And part of me just thinks, I don't know this woman, but part of me thinks, like, gosh, wouldn't you be better off just moving forward with your life and taking mm-hmm. a chance on someone else, or, you know, adoption or whatever. They said for some reason adoption was not an option for her. I didn't know if that was financial or I don't know. But IVF is very expensive, so I would think that
it
both
is,
options
and it seems
are about
like it's
the same.
It's pretty dangerous as well. I don't know if you saw is it her name
Juliana Rancic?
Yes, mm-hmm. who just was recently underwent a double mastectomy after they found breast cancer before they were about to do, I think, her third IVF treatment.
Yeah.
And immediately when I saw that story, and she said that the IVF saved her life because had she not been you know, about to do that, then she wouldn't have been forced to have a mammogram. But my question was, did it save her life, or is it the reason behind this cancer that she currently has? Because they're saying that IVF has been linked to increased breast cancer in women. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I think that they just don't know. I think that they're just not sure. But, you know, you have to think pumping yourself full of hormones like that it can't be super healthy for you.
Right. So, well, within this case of the embryo freezing, it's tough to say. I mean, if she couldn't have any more children, and it looks as though that's a big factor in most of the decisions of the courts, that if the woman can't have any more biological children, then they have been lenient or more lenient to go in their favor, the women's favor. But I'd be curious to know, like, what if a dad wants to do it?
I thought about that, too. Yeah, to get a surrogate mom to take those eggs and then get a surrogate. Could he do that?
Right.
That's a good question. I don't know. This is such a hot topic. It's a hotly debated topic. And we'd love to hear our listeners and our viewers response on this. So email us, mb@mommybeta.com, or just tweet us or post anywhere on the blog. And we'll be sure that we put links to these stories in the blog show notes, in the show notes on the blog, so that you can feel free to comment as much as you'd like. Well, we want to make sure that you are visiting mommybeta.com regularly, because we have things that we're giving away, such as onesies and swaddle blankets. We give away things regularly, so make sure you're stopping by that. And we always wrap up the blog, or the podcast rather, I'm sorry, with a little victory, just something that we like to celebrate because we're making strides in parenting, and Jennifer's going to share one this week.
Yeah, so we were really excited. I think it was around 13 months that we just bit the bullet. Is that a saying? and Elle is now bottle free. So she only takes her bottle primarily through cups. I have two little sippy cups that I usually take when we travel that have the little straws in them. Mm-hmm. But other than that, at home or at her grandma's or even out at restaurants, she's pretty much drinking out of cups.
That's great. So did she seem to ask for it? Because Miles still, he wakes up and he asks for it. But if I give him milk in another vessel, he seems okay with it. But I'm trying to wean from bottles too. It just seems to be a little bit of a longer process than I had expected.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I never really thought about it until I actually was faced with the situation. Mm-hmm. And then you think, how am I going to do this?
Yeah.
It was gradual for us. I ended up just testing the waters, you know, taking away her middle of the day bottles and then just using milk at the meals then. Mm-hmm. And then we went for the morning one. Mm-hmm. And she just seemed to cope with it really well, wasn't upset, wasn't asking for the bottle or reaching for it. If she was out and we saw another baby with a bottle, I think she would have loved to be having a bottle herself. But she reacted really well. And then for the night bottle, that was the trickiest one. That's when I wrote the post a couple of months ago about how do we get off of this, because our bedtime routine was built completely around the bottle.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to make sure she was getting her adequate milk intake, which I think that our doctor told us 16 ounces minimal. Mm-hmm. And so what we did is we just started adding more books and less milk. And then one night we were at my husband's mom's, pretty late, and she'd had a pretty big meal, and I think she'd had some ice cream or something for dessert. So I felt that she was pretty full and had some dairy in her.
Yeah.
So we just came home and brushed her teeth, and I read about three books and then laid her down, and she seemed fine with it. And so I kept it up.
Okay. Well, that's great. Like I said, I'm just now on morning and nighttime bottles, and then during the day giving him milk out of just different vessels like cups and things like that. But, and I keep asking myself, I'm like, I think it's me that's attached to the idea of the bottle, probably not him.
I think that plays a part of it, because it's sort of a link to, you know, a certain phase in their life.
Right.
When they're smaller and
I think that when he's asking for it, that I'll disappoint him if I say no, or, you know, I think it's hard for me to sort of let go of that. But he does need a good dosage of milk before he goes down, or he'll wake up in the middle of the night hungry, no matter how big his dinner is, usually, unless it's a huge dinner. But yeah, I'm working on that too. And again, not because I have such a problem with the bottle, but when the new baby comes, I want him to distinguish that those bottles are not for him. Mm-hmm. You know, like when we were with my sister's baby and she was pumping milk and giving her baby a bottle, he thought that those were his.
That's interesting. So is that sort of when the light kind of, you decided that you wanted to pursue this a little more?
Well, no, I mean, I guess I don't have the urgency about it. And I don't really think that it is going to lead to any obesity like some of the studies do because of the things we've talked about before on the Mommy Beta podcast. But I think it's just sort of graduating him and the expectations. And then I think I mentioned that woman in Target was like, oh, he still has a bottle. And I was like, screw you.
You're like, I'm going to do this for her as long as I want.
Yeah. I think that, you know, maybe I did kind of cave to a little peer pressure on it. And like, you know, a couple people have said things to me and I'm like, why do you care? You know, mm-hmm. But then at the same time, I thought, well, it probably is a good time. He's 16 months now to start to transition off of the bottle. But I don't know. Yeah. I'm having a hard time really thinking like, what do I believe? And what am I now, you know, sort of kowtowing to what other people tell me I should believe? I don't know. But I read an article on, I think it was whattoexpect.com about transitioning. And so I mean, it seems to be going fine, you know. But again, I think it's me that's used to it. Like, here's your nighttime bottle. Here you go.
Exactly. I mean, for me, it was what I knew would work in getting her down. And Elle eats all day. Uh-huh. That girl's favorite place is in her high chair. The best gift I gave her this year was a tray for her stroller. And she just will be as happy as a clam if I am pumping her full of frozen or freeze-dried strawberries and blueberries while I'm shopping. She'll let me shop as long as I want, you know, wow, for the holiday shopping and all that stuff. So I don't know if that's why she doesn't wake up in the middle of the night. I don't know. But I'm happy that, you know, she doesn't. But I know that if she did, I would be doing exactly what you're doing or making sure she had enough dairy. I will say that we started using cups very early. I think she may have drank water from the cup right when the baby can have water. So what is that, 4 months?
6 months.
6 months? Mm-hmm. Okay. So she's been drinking from a cup since 6 months. So it's very familiar to her.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. We go to the little toy stores and things like that. She'll pick up the cups and the teacups and things and pretend like she's drinking out of them.
That's cute.
So, yeah, that's her big victory.
That is a big victory. Good for you. Hopefully we'll share that one in maybe a couple of weeks. I don't know. I'm not going to push it. Mommy needs her bottle.
I did see your little man is walking around so well now.
I know. He's super mobile. We just took him on a little hike. It was so cute. And he's not like Elle. He doesn't, you know, he can't be bothered to eat. He's too busy exploring things and learning things. And his dad just taught him to throw rocks in the lake. And he was really upset when we had to stop that and go back home and so that we could do the Mommy Beta podcast. So it's hard to get him to eat. That's why the milk is just another thing of convenience. Like, well, at least I know he's got vitamins in him. And he was sick recently and he would only take milk because he didn't want to eat because he had a sore throat, poor guy. So he's just so different like that. Like I can always be bothered to eat, but not him. He's too busy.
And are you guys making his meals separately still, or are you sort of like, okay, you can have some of ours?
A combination of both. Mm-hmm. I keep a puree with me so that, you know, I can make sure he's eating some vegetables and he'll eat that. But then I try and give him what we're eating as well. And usually he'll eat a little bit of it and then, you know, the purees and then some little pieces of what we're eating. So it's challenging because, like I said, he doesn't want to be in his high chair. He wants to get down and run around with his Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've been introducing you like this. Elle had, I think, her first burrito the other day, though she has had chicken enchiladas and refried beans and rice and is a big fan.
Oh, you're so lucky.
And we also have introduced Chinese food and Indian food.
Yeah.
But I think you said that Miles eats some spicy stuff, right?
He does. And I used to give him Indian food puree, like I made a tikka masala when, you know, he was around a year that was a puree. So he will eat that kind of stuff. But again, he's just an active boy. So now it's just a matter of getting him to sit down and eat.
I think it gets tougher as they get older because all of you mommy beta mommies have older babies than Elle. And so it's just amazing how much a month can change their focus.
Right. I also think it's girls and boys too. Like girls can eat and you know, boys just,
yeah, Reese can eat some food. I don't know where she puts all those nice snacks that her mom puts together, but she can put it away.
I know. Well, we'll wrap it up. We've talked your little victory in circles. So thank you so much for sharing. And I'm proud of Little L for going bottle free. If you want to share your little victories, you can. You can email us mb@mommybeta.com. You can tweet us @mommybeta, or you can just post on the blog, mommybeta.com. We thank you so much for listening. And we want to wish you a very, very happy holiday, whatever one it is you're celebrating. I hope it's wonderful. And feel free to share your holiday pictures and experiences with us. We like that stuff too. So Jennifer, happy holidays.
You too.
Have a safe travel.
Listeners. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
You and me, happy as can be, flying through the park on our bikes on a Sunday afternoon. You and me, rolling on the floor, practicing your somersaults, your cartwheels, your donkey kicks and more. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms. Today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you. Drawing pictures wild and free, while the paint goes flying, your big smile, it brightens up the room. You and me, reading books in bed, your head on my shoulder, your eyes on the pages ahead. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms. Today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you.